Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 7 of season 2 of the Half Alive podcast.
We are the Law and Law brothers. My name is Law.
And my name is Law.
We're 60-year-old twins with more than a few career, financial, mental health, and size challenges.
Our podcast is for people like us, people in the arts, who tried and failed to make a living doing what we love. My brother as an actor in L.A., and me as a writer in New York City.
And after retreating to our decrepit old house in Schenectady, New York, and spending 15 reclusive years with only DoorDash and other home delivery services to keep us company, my dear brother Law got a wild hair up his ass, which I tried to but couldn't remove.
A talented wordsmith, aren't you, Law?
Thank you. But my brother found a speck of hope that I'd long since lost, that maybe we could crawl out of our depression and start creating again through this podcast. Mm-hmm. And even though we haven't completely emerged from the abyss, I am forever grateful to my brother Law for getting us started.
Oh, thank you, Law. You resisted me every step of the way, but thank you.
I understand now, and I didn't understand then. And plus, I'm lazy, and I didn't want to be poked like a big bear in a cage. Come on, get out of the cage, bear. No.
Bear. Bear, go away. Do you remember that meme? Bear, stop. I don't want to be a successful bear.
I don't want to get into your sexual fantasy. And I can't even stop having nightmares about being bludgeoned to death with a didgeridoo thanks to our last guest.
Oh, now that was the mark of a successful interview, Law.
We did do good, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Well, for those of you who didn't hear our last podcast, we interviewed Clementine Roach, who is a didgeridoo player. She started studying it in Australia years, decades ago, and then she wound up going to Los Angeles and trying to make it there as a didgeridoo player. And then she wound up in the North Country again, where she was heckled by a customer, one night, drunken customer, and she actually beat him to death with the didgeridoo. And
I think it was more than heckled, though. I think I mean, I think she is innocent. I think it was self-defense, but
yeah,
big news, the didgeridoo girl. Bludgeon somebody to death with a didgeridoo. I mean, I don't know. Has there been any murders other than that one with a didgeridoo?
I looked it up and I couldn't find anything. I couldn't find anything specific to someone playing a didgeridoo and being attacked by an audience member who was annoyed by it. But it sounds like he was actually physically threatening to her, and so he deserved it.
I sent her a T-shirt as a thanks. For the show, and I said, didgeridoo-don't. Get it? Didgeridoo-don't. I'm sorry.
Did you really?
But no. What am I going to get money? I'm going to spend any precious reserves we have to send her a gift. She needs to give us a gift.
She gave us a gift. No. She gave us a great interview. She was very funny, and I liked her a lot. I'm glad
you
found
her. I did like her a lot, too.
Now, I'm not sure I'd want to have a sleepover with her, but, just because, she...
Well, she seems safe now and very...
she's killed before.
From her. I know. Can you imagine, though, no matter what anybody does, whenever anybody looks at you, they go, she's killed before. He's killed before. We've never killed.
No, well, yet. No, we not. Well, we're trying to, perhaps the planet.
Yeah, so anyway.
Anyway, so back to Ms. Clementine Roach. Is it Clementine or Clementine?
I don't even remember my name. But I wonder, it was almost like I'd like to have her back, but we'd have to have some kind of a reason to invite her back.
Do you think I should know her name the week after the interview?
Know.
Anyway.
What about Xerxes? I still don't
Xerxes.
Remember his name.
Xerxes. Yeah, your boyfriend.
Yeah,
he's. I'm sure he's.
But don't ever
not speaking to us.
Surprise me like that again. You hit my.
All right, we're not going there again, Mr.
You hit
Tender.
A nerve.
Oh yes. Well, what nerves? Wow, your nerves are all exposed. What do you expect? Your skin's getting a lot thinner, literally.
We did get some emails, which is nice. And by the way, if you want to email us at halfalivepodcast@gmail.com.
That's halfalivepodcast@gmail.com.
And email us something nice, will you? We never get nice emails. Listen to these.
You do the first one, Law. It's so
I'll
mean.
I'll do the first one? Okay. Yeah. Dear Law and Law, a new low for you two losers, interviewing and fawning over a murderer. It'll be hard for you to top that, though I'm sure you'll find a way. Elsie Brain, Swamp Angel, Kansas. And we looked it up.
There is a Swamp Angel, Kansas.
And she didn't write, like most people do, not my real name. You can look her up. Elsie Brain. Swamp Angel, Kansas.
Yes, I looked up Brain, and it actually is a surname, so I guess she wasn't ashamed. She should be.
Everyone should go to her house with a torch. Or maybe our house with a torch, because I agree with her.
A didgeridoo.
Let's send Clementine over there.
And she doesn't even have to use it. She just has to hold it. It's like, speak softly and carry a big didgeridoo, right?
No, didgeridoo don't. So I don't know. Do you want to respond to that? I mean, I think that I don't know how that's.
Well,
all that
I think Elsie. Well, she's from Kansas, so let's face it. It's not exactly. It's a general problem there with people respecting us because we're homosexuals and they don't like us. But
well, she didn't mention anything about that.
I'm sure she was thinking about it. I'm sure Elsie Brain was thinking. Elsie Brain was thinking about it in her brain. I hate Kansas. Do you remember? I drove through Kansas on the way to visiting you in, what do you call it? And all I could think about was those goddamn ruby slippers the whole time. Like,
I just remember.
I'm going to see this green witch flying out of the sky.
I mean, I just remember it was flat and I felt isolated. It was felt this landlocked.
The worst. The worst. Thank God they make bread. So what was the question? I don't think Elsie Brain has the facts down here. Clementine wasn't a murderer. She acted in self-defense. The guy was actually coming at her. So
right.
Technically, I mean, murder is like there's provocation, not just provocation, but there's actually intention, right? And I don't think she intended to kill him.
Also, she writes, it'll be hard for you to top that, although I'm sure you'll find a way. So, like, is the murderer the lowest we could go? How would you top a murderer? Because we don't have a guest yet. Actually, if you'd like to be a guest in our show, please write to us at halfalivepodcast@gmail.com.
That's a good idea.
We'd love to have a guest. If you have, you know, the theme of our show, which is picking up the pieces of our broken, tragic life and dreams to try to squeeze just a tiny speck of happiness the few short years we have left. So make it inspiring. But we would love to interview people. So if you'd like to be a guest, write Swamp Angel. No, write us.
Swamp Angel.
We'll consider it.
Kansas. Oh, I bet you there's a big university in Swamp Angel where all the brainiacs go, huh?
Yeah, we did think that was a fake letter until we actually looked it up.
Yeah.
So we have another letter that is a little better.
This one's actually kind of nice. You want me to read it?
Well, please do.
Dear Law and Law, I love the Clementine interview. Yay. For once you two... Oh, here it goes. Criticism. For once you two managed to stay on track and not interrupt your guest.
Well, she's right.
Well, that's true. Although you did mispronounce her name a few times, I'm wondering if you could use a little phonics refresher at your age. All right. Anyway, she was knowledgeable and funny and often poignant. When she talked about beating the heckler to death with her didgeridoo, I was right with her. I have dealt with plenty of hecklers in my career as a kazoo player and contortionist, and there are many times I didn't defend myself because I wanted to be the bigger person, and that just made them bolder and more aggressive. Next time someone interrupts my act, I'm going to wrap myself around them like a snake and strangle the life out of them. Teresa M. Saltaformaggio, Brooklyn. Wow.
Oh, paisana.
I'm not going to mess with Teresa Saltaformaggio.
Now, can I say one thing?
What?
I really am not really into, I mean, I don't really care about female contortionists,
mm-hmm.
but when I see a male contortionist, mm-hmm. I do kind of find it attractive.
Really?
And I wouldn't even mind if he was playing the kazoo. I might pay to see that.
La, would you go out with a contortionist who is also a mime?
It's not who I would go out with. Who would go out with me?
Who would lower themselves?
I have so much to offer.
Well, we will repeat to any possible dates out there for us. We are clean. We might be fat. We might be losers.
We've always been clean.
But we are clean. But our clothes are clean. Our bodies are clean. So don't get thinking we're this dirty, fat old men. I won't allow it.
We have to go to your house, though, because between La and La, if one more person stepped in this house, it would definitely collapse to the ground.
Yes, and if you're a little zoftig, you know, a little big, all the more reason we should go to yours, especially if you have cement floors.
But we do have a middle apartment that is for rent. So
yes.
You can also, if you're in Schenectady, New York, and you want to live in the worst drug-infested section of the city... that's completely unsafe in a drafty old house where we don't pay anything. You pay everything. If you'd like, please write us.
La, you missed your calling as a real estate agent. You just sold that apartment.
Well, we're doing good financially right now. So.
Yeah, we're doing great.
Doing better than we have.
Yeah, let's just hope nothing breaks. So this person seems to get it, that this was self-defense. If you're drunk and you're not, you know, sedate about it and just sitting there quietly, instead you're being totally obnoxious, you know, you have no inhibitions, then you get what you pay for. That's all there is to it. She's a performer.
I'm glad that this person saw a little more in that interview because it got away from us and she actually took the lead and it really did become a poignant, like a good interview. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to talk to people.
Yeah.
And it went actually really well. It was a good interview.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it is kind of an equation, right? It's not, you can't just be a good interviewer. The other person has to be cooperative. But she was good. She was on target, I thought. And I thought she was, I agree with this reader, that she was very funny, but you didn't necessarily see it coming, you know?
And it was good. She talked about her history, how she, you know, started it, and her brother, and how it was good. It was very good. So we hope to do more of that.
Yes, I also think that I like the word poignant. I've heard it pronounced poignant.
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 La!
Are you poignant again? What did I tell you about birth control?
Thank God you live in New York, because we can get rid of that little thing. You know,
when I was
a few people, our father's talking now. You know, I got a few girls poignant.
Yes, that's where I got it. That's right.
But I would go into my wife's cookie jar and take the extra money and get that taken care of. Thank God I lived in New York. No poignancies here.
Yeah.
I was waiting for my two little girls, La and La, to get poignant, but nobody would touch them.
You know, I have to say, one of the few things I liked about Dad was that when the priest would go on at church, when it was ever, like, it was anti-abortion Sunday, right? They'd do their thing about abortion, and he'd just sit there and snicker. And it's the only thing I liked about him.
If I had a nickel for every abortion I paid for, this church would be made of gold. Now get me a beer and get these two little girls, La and La, away from me. You know, when I look at them, I don't feel successful. When they're not in the room, I feel better.
At least he didn't say that, right? You're against abortion. Look at these two. For the love of Christ.
Their mother should have never gotten poignant with them.
Oh, La, how did we get so far off course here? Thank you, Teresa Saltaformaggio from Brooklyn, for the nice letter. There were a bunch of responses to mostly positive. I mean, nobody complimented us specifically, but about Clementine and how good she was. And I think she's probably going to reintroduce to our audience anyway a new respect for the didgeridoo, because people probably don't know what it sounds like. And
I wonder if she'd write a theme song for us.
Oh, La. Excellent idea.
So appropriate.
It certainly would.
Might. Get a theme song on the Bobby for us.
What was that? Did you have a stroke, La?
Anyway, we should probably get moving a little bit. Anyway, so I think I've been feeling better lately. I don't know why. I have absolutely no reason to feel. I have a few reasons to feel better. Part of it is my brother's making me do this podcast.
But yes.
Because of that, I thought, you know, again, Law said we're clean, but mm-hmm. I'm very cluttered and I've got stuff here. Yes, anyway, I thought I'd try and organize some things. And I came across years of old journals that started when I was like 6 or 7. And I mentioned it to Law, and since he's a writer and I'm not, he actually found some of his own.
Oh, I certainly did. Indeed, I did.
Yeah, we thought it might be insightful to look back and see what we can learn from our younger selves to inspire us in this part of our lives.
So, you kept a journal since childhood. Mine are much more sporadic. Do you want to start? See if we have glean anything from our younger selves. So but make sure give us some context for each one. Make sure you know, like.
Well, I'll try. I have, you know, they start from 7 or 8 and they go up to when I was like 18. So I just picked a few winners.
You were 7 or 8 years old and you were journaling. You didn't even know how to write back then. Remember, you were delayed.
Well, I didn't write brilliantly. They're very simple. Like this one is from, I think, 1971. We were 7 or 8, right? So, dear journal. I think my grandmother is pretty. Wait. He goes, if you look at her in a certain way.
What light was that? A black light with luminol?
I know it. I should change it. I think my grandmother is pretty when she's not coming at me with a knife. But I thought that showed the innocence that we had at one point
in
our lives.
That's true. That's true. I mean, you trust people even though they have no reason to be trusted when you're a kid.
I guess. Here's one from the same year, 1971. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid to start my new spelling book. Why do we have to spell if I can talk? And I've stayed true to that theory my whole life.
You certainly have. Oh, my God. No wonder we got slapped by so many teachers. I mean.
Well, here's one that I don't remember the details of this. Maybe you do. Same year, 71. It says, today, my father came home. Mm-hmm. He was sleeping in the shop. What is the shop?
The shop. Huh. Do you think that's code for something?
I don't know, but I know that when our mother still had a little bit of a will before she was beaten into the ground, she would. So maybe he left home, but I don't. I thought maybe you might remember where he was, but because there's no details. Today, my father came home. He was sleeping in the shop. He said, "Me and Law have to eat less, or we won't be good in gym. Do good in gym like Richie." Hmm. He said we should also walk like him. I was thinking. Did he mean himself or Richie? Because Dad used to walk like he had shit in his pants.
That's true. And
Richie would like had that jock swagger.
Yeah.
He's probably talking about Richie, but knowing Dad, he was probably talking about him because he probably thought that shit in his pants walk was like Richie.
Well, it seemed I didn't do him any harm as finding the chicks.
Huh.
That's so interesting. I don't remember that at all.
I think I cleaned things up, too, because I'm sure he didn't say, hey, you two boys have to eat less. I'm sure, because my memories of him talking to us a little different than that.
Yeah, right. It wasn't quite as gentle. Oh,
shut
my God.
Your pie holes.
That is so funny, Law. And, you know, I'm trying to think of what shop. Could he have worked at a mechanic shop, like part-time, lied his way into a job, or working at a small grocery, or
I don't know. I don't
he
remember.
Had so many jobs.
Yeah, our dad, I don't know. So also 1971, which is a big year for my writing career. Dear Dice, see if you remember this day, because I remember it clearly, and I don't really put in the details. I just have like just the facts, ma'am.
Right.
Dear Diary, today is Thanksgiving. Grandma is mad. Richie got in a big fight with Carmi, and Dad laughed. Mommy won't talk. Me and Law took food to go to the park. I dropped mine and got ants on it, but Law said it was still good, and I wiped it off. That's it.
The resilience of children.
Well, it was, though, because when there was all this drama, I remember that fight with Carmi was a fist fight. And I remember, you know, mom was crying, you know, I actually don't have a memory of grandma in this. But I know that I remember the real fist fight and dad laughing, and then you and I would just take off. I remember clearly wiping the ants off the drumstick.
Wow.
And we ate it, and it was fine.
I barely remember that incident. There were so many fights, and there was so much crying, and so many ruined holidays, and they all blended together. But I just remember that someone left, because of all the nonsense, left a bowl of stuffing, like, on the kitchen counter, and I ate the whole thing. And then I, like, I tried to hide the dish, you know, the bowl somehow, wash it, put it in the dishwasher. But it was, like, one of the happiest moments of my life because we, you know, got away with something.
I don't remember getting involved in the family dramas.
No, we never did.
I just kind of disappearing. And I didn't cry over it. I just, like, shut it down.
No, that's good insight, though, Lob, because that shows us we always were under the radar as best we could, you know.
Well, that helped us in our career in the arts.
That's true. We meant to stay under the radar.
Completely under the radar. But that's actually true, though. I was never one to push myself forward and do all this because, you know, just I wanted to stay under the radar because as an actor, I didn't like attention.
It's true. Oh, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Well, speaking of this, goes right into now. It's, I think, I was 13 or 14 mm-hmm. when I started to get the bug. And I wrote, I honestly think that I have the talent and the ideals to become very famous, but I do not think I will handle it well. I will become. Let's see how you handle failure. I will become very confused and lonely. Old friends and family will say, I have changed. They won't say it in the positive sense.
Well, that's right.
I would like to become famous, but it goes deeper than that. It's a feeling I have inside. Oh, my God. I want to give myself to them to make them happy. Despite what I feel and know will happen in my personal life, I still want to give / take. What I want to do goes deeper than love. It's something I feel I have got to do for them and for me. Signed, Serif Bernhardt.
Well, you never had to worry about being too successful and losing yourself in the process, La.
But La, you were the only one who never laughed at me when I thought those things or did those things.
I know.
Dad, I'd like to have a talk with you. I want to give myself to them, Dad.
If there's ever
a gift I'd return, it'd be you.
Why don't you give yourself to medical studies, son?
Well, they wouldn't have you either. You know how fickle doctors are.
Oh, my God. La, but there's that was funny, but it was actually kind of beautiful because it was, you did have the bug, and it showed that you were not a person who wanted attention a lot, but that you wanted to, seek out your craft. So it's kind of touching in a goofy way.
Well, the last one is this. Actually, there's one that popped up. I don't know. It has no date, mm-hmm. but I must have been a teenager because it's more something than the ones when I was 7 or 8. So I don't know how old I was when I wrote this, but I was probably a teenager. It says, Dear Mom, I'd like to shake you sometimes. Shake you until the wonderful, fun-loving, sensitive woman rises to the surface. But what if I shook you and you were the same?
Oh, my God. Did you write that?
I did.
Wow, that was beautiful.
Maybe I wrote that when she died. I don't know.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, maybe it was after. Oh, my God. That was beautiful. That hurt my heart.
Well, that's the only one that I wrote that
so kind of. Mom was, you know, besides maybe a couple of our brothers, was the only one that we actually liked.
But then she kind of, shut down. And she just stopped talking. And she had suicide attempts. And she just would retreat into her own little world.
Yeah.
So we just went on.
Oh, my God, Lot, that was absolutely beautiful.
Well, I don't have any insights in that. I mean, like, I guess I must have given it some thought at some point.
Well, you
it
knew.
It really bothered me when I was
sure.
a kid.
Sure, yeah. I mean, we never even talked about it between us that we knew there was something wrong with Mom.
That's the funny thing. We never really analyzed our family together.
No.
We still don't really. We make fun of it. But, I mean, what's the point? We knew what it did to us.
Oh, that's true. I mean.
But more importantly, in 1975... I had a career change.
Did you now?
I did. This is the last one because this is April 1st, 1975. I now want to be a singer. Not to be famous, although it would be nice, but just because I love to sing. I have sung at different places. I'm lying to my journal. I have sung at different places, so I know that I want to do it. For me, there is no other feeling that I enjoy as much. And I do talk about you here. Because I don't like to talk to anyone other than Law about acting and singing.
Aww.
People laugh at me and think I want to be a star, rich and famous, which is wrong, which is also lying to my journal because I didn't tell anybody but Law, and he didn't laugh at me, but so this was in my head. People laugh at me. Well, I guess I did mention it to Dad because going on, he goes, my father said, do you want to move to New York and live with the queers? Joke's on him. I want to move to California to live with the queers. Well, no matter what they think, I'm going to do something with it. There's nothing else I can do or want to do. Law understands. He wants to be a writer.
Law.
And it's funny. Law and I never actually graduated high school.
No.
Everyone says that they're afraid to graduate. I don't think I am. I'm afraid to flunk. I know what I want to do will be extremely hard, but there's no other way. New York City and California are really the only places to go if you want to do it right. After finding an apartment and a job, I'll just start going to auditions. After a while, you're bound to get something. All I can do is try. I'm not going to be one of those people who say, well, I'll give myself a year, and if nothing happens, I'll come home. If I even get one bit part in a year, I'll be lucky. I think I'll be able to support myself just by acting and singing. It might take 10 years. It might take never.
Or longer.
There's nothing else I want to do or nothing else I can do, so I have to do it. And that's it.
La.
That's all I pulled.
There's something in each one of those, and they're kind of poignant. And I think they do speak a little bit to the hope of a child who had absolutely no encouragement, right? And you did go out and try to find your dreams. It didn't work, but it doesn't mean that it was a failure. It just means it didn't work out. It doesn't work out for a lot of people. They were beautiful, La. I'm very proud of you.
But La, I tried to shake myself and I ended up the same.
It's true. Well, you know, La, when we start shaking, it's very hard to get things to stop. Jiggling.
Well, if this is a successful thing, we should do it next week, too, just to keep it going. If we're going to learn anything, I don't know what to say. I mean, it hurts a little bit to see the idealism.
I thought they were beautiful. I mean, I mean, they were really, they all hurt me in a way. I mean, I felt touched hurt, not broken. They were rather beautiful, Law.
Oh, thank you. But it makes me actually, if we're talking about how this part of our lives, what I can learn. I remember we used to play the game, is it our fault or theirs? We try to get the monkey off our back.
Let's do it again.
Well, this kind of makes the monkey release his grip a little bit. I mean, I'm really glad I tried. We were smart enough to know that, you know, you knew you had to go somewhere other than Schenectady to be a professional writer. And
right.
You had to, and we did it. We did it in spite of anything. We followed our bliss.
That's true.
To the sink of success.
And we followed our misery all the way back to Schenectady.
Well, all right. The bigger the dream, the bigger the heartbreak.
That's
and
true.
We had
That's
15
true.
Years of heartbreak.
That's
so
true.
I don't know what comes after heartbreak because I only had the dream as a little kid till we gave up the dream and then the heartbreak. So this actually, I don't know what the rest of our lives are going to look at, but at least you know we're getting over the heartbreak.
Yep. Oh, La.
Oh, La. Let's hear yours. Don't make me cry. Because I don't like emotions.
I'm afraid it's not going to be quite as meaningful as yours. Do you remember back in the late 80s, early 90s, everybody was in recovery, everybody was in 12-step oriented therapy, and everybody knew they had been sexually abused even if they couldn't remember it. So it's like therapists would encourage people to find that memory even though it didn't exist.
I remember completely abused. I went into the 12 steps to deal with my eating, and I promptly gained almost 80 pounds.
Well, I mean, it was this cure-all almost. Like, you find out that you've been sexually abused, and it's the core of all your problems, even if it didn't happen. And it was a terrible... anyways, I won't get into it, but it was a terrible thing to encourage people, because apparently most people who have been sexually abused remember it, and it's not like suddenly, voila, there's this memory. And you can start, you know, I think it was called false memory syndrome or something. People are making up all kinds of things and accusing their parents, and some people went to jail because of it. And well, apparently, and I had totally forgotten about this. I was in New York City by then. And
I was raped by a football team, and I totally forgot about it. It was the best night of my life. How could I have forgotten about that? Said,
boys, are you intending to rape me?
Well, look, before, I just want to say that we're not dissing 12 steps, because it's all about how you work them. And obviously, I didn't work it well.
The 12 steps always led to 7-Eleven, didn't they, Law?
Yeah. But anyway, go ahead, Law.
All right. So anyways, I found this journal entry, which is actually a poem. And I couldn't believe, I didn't even realize, it's my handwriting and it's my journal. I don't remember this at all, but it is, I would say this is the best, worst poem ever written. And I'm going to try to get through it without vomiting. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
It's the kind of pain that sets a man to thinking about childhood sexual abuse. My balls aching.
Oh, wow.
Uncomfortable. But not intolerable. Cancer? Hernia? Or a memory wound so tight in the layers of my body and unwinding in a slow throb? Sometimes my balls don't ache. Rather, it's as if an invisible, huge enema is lodged in my asshole. And I have to pee immediately, even though I am a grown man. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
That was disturbing.
That was not just terrible poetry.
What's the title of that poem?
It says August 3rd. That's all.
Balls.
And I wrote a little note in here just now. Best worst poem ever. But my balls don't ache.
There may have been something that happened to us, but I mean, when I think about it, it just doesn't make sense, because everyone was repulsed by us as kids. Nobody in our family, you know, showed any regular interest, let alone sexual interest.
Well, I mean, didn't enough things happen to us without us borrowing this kind of shit? You know what I mean? But I think I have a brilliant line here. This should go down in bad poetry history. A huge enema is lodged in my asshole.
As opposed to a small enema?
As opposed to any place else you'd put an enema.
Tiny little enema is lodged
in my eardrum. Oh, God almighty. So that, but I think what was interesting about that, it was that I went through that phase of, you know, trying to get into therapy and 12-step. I actually not sure that I went to therapy because I couldn't afford it, but going to 12-step meetings and things like that. And
there's just so much to talk about. It seems like it's not worth it.
Well, that's it. But I don't know how that, you know, that must have derailed me from what I should have been doing down there. I'm writing friggin' terrible poetry about childhood sexual abuse that didn't happen to me, instead of, you know, my real truth.
I don't know, La, because you were still using it to create art in some way, whether it was good or bad art. You were still using your emotion, your thoughts to create art in some way. Grandma just shit in the garden. Dad just vomited behind the couch. Mom just stopped talking. Carmi ran away. Richie died of...
Richie still be, let's face it, he'd still be in Schenectady now if he were alive.
Oh,
and for those of
us who live here,
maybe. For those of you who don't know, our brother Carmi, we suspect, was transgendered, and he took off. He was like 17 years old, hadn't graduated high school either, took off, and we never saw him. And we heard from him and about him and stuff like that, but we never saw him again.
Carmi, if you're out there, contact us. You're the only family member we'd like to.
Well, he's dead.
Oh, wait, he's dead. I forget.
I don't think we're putting it out there on the airwaves. Remember, we're the only two left except our bastard half-brother.
La, I have an idea for a guest.
What?
We could get Tyler Henry. Do you know who Tyler Henry is?
No.
He's a psychic from L.A. He started being a psychic when he was a little kid. We could have an on-air psychic reading. We could have a medium come on and give us messages from our dead relatives.
Give up
talking about us.
Give up.
Give up.
No.
We tried to jinx your career in every way
there
possible.
Really is no hope.
But we could have an on-air medium give us a reading.
We could probably take an express train to the moon too, La, but I don't think it's gonna happen.
Well, if you're a medium, write to us at halfalivepodcast@gmail.com.
Because we know there are no con men out there, con people
and
out there.
We have to do it. You have to do it for free, because this is on our show. It's actually good exposure for you.
It is, because we have like over 400 subscribers now.
That's exciting.
So people love us, La. Well, they love our COD Pass.
Is it making a difference?
They like our COD Pass.
Our COD piece.
It's vintage. Cullable. It's vintage, don't you know?
Mine's a little ratty.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Well.
All right, well, I'm interested to do this again. I'll dig up some more, and you can dig up some more, and we'll see what we
have. I'm not reading any more of my poetry, but I will read something, like a prose thing, a standard journal entry. But that was truly horrific. Disgusts me in so many ways.
Huh. Well, I guess we got to wrap things up for this episode.
I guess so. Shall we update our loyal listeners about our latest projects before we sign off? Our artistic projects that we keep
doing
despite the fact that we're not making any money at them?
So, as you all know, I was hired to be a basketball coach for some street girls.
Street girls.
I don't mean, they're just kids that...
Ragamuffins.
Ragamuffin. You
That's
know,
that, the clinical that, term.
Need direction, and I was hired to be a basketball coach because I lied completely through the whole thing. And the first episode, the first evening, they knew right away that I was a fraud, but they were fun, and we started bouncing the ball around, and I thought, well, what the hell, I'm gonna get fired anyway. And I just turned it into an improv class, and
yes,
the girls had
right.
a blast. And the people that were running it didn't care if it was basketball or what. So since then, once a week, I've been giving this class on improv, and the girls are actually great. I'm having a good time.
Yay.
I sit in the middle of the gym like Jabba the Hutt on a stool that rotates, and they are all around me. So I just kind of turn my giant body. But we're having fun, and I get $100 a week, which is $400 a month.
Wow.
I'm having fun. Yep.
La. Now, La, I have to confront you about something as long as you brought that up. I have found a few cigarette butts squashed outside the house. Have these girls, these ragamuffins, have they influenced you to start smoking?
It's funny you say that. La.
Why is that funny, dear?
It's funny because, no, I'm not smoking, but you did catch me.
Oh.
I found an old monologue from a play called Sandals, the story of two brothers. and one smokes through this monologue. And I was practicing the monologue, and I got a couple smokes. And yes, but I'm not a smoke. God, no. With our family history...
Right.
I mean, and what's going to happen now is we're finally going to get a little something going with our podcast, and I'm going to start smoking and die. No, but you're very astute, La. But how about that? I'm doing a monologue. Maybe I'll do it for you on air one day.
I think you should. I think you should entertain us and
keep on creating. Basically, I suck as an actor, and this is moving past that.
Well, that's all right. I suck as a writer, but you got to do it.
Think you suck as a writer, brother.
Oh, la. Well, I don't think you suck as an actor, especially a comic actor. I think you're hilarious.
Thank you, la. Are we sure the sexual abuse wasn't between the two of us?
We're the same age.
No, we didn't do it.
Ew.
I never touched him. Well, never.
That one time we had a huge fight in the doctor's office because we wouldn't give Richie our stem cells, and he died. But that's another episode. You have to go back to last season and listen to it. Anyway, Law, I guess that's it.
I'm having a moment because I had a moment of sadness for Richie.
Really?
For us not, I mean, was it really our fault? Because the next week we marched back in there. We tried to say that we'd do it, but the doctor wouldn't do it.
La, I've had, I don't know how many animals, pets I've had that I've liked better than Richie. I mean, I'm just not sentimental about him. That's all. He just made our lives hell.
I remember Carmi occasionally acknowledging our existence.
Yeah.
Never Richie. I don't have one good memory of Richie as far as anything.
Carmi was like benignly disinterested in us, you know.
He never did anything bad.
Yeah. Well, how'd we get here?
Maybe we shouldn't read more journal entries. I don't want to look at our family. I don't want to think about it. Where's DoorDash?
It's lunchtime, ain't it?
It's lunchtime, isn't it?
And I'm not going out there in that scary world.
Lunchtime somewhere. I need pasta now. I mean, I haven't thought about Grandma shitting in the garden forever. 100 years. This is the first time this journal is poisoned.
It is true. It's like stuff can be toxic, but we're supposed to be being positive. So we did learn some positive things from our journals.
That's true.
Right? Like not to waste time on psychological fads.
And it's funny how kids just look at the world and without judgment. I don't remember thinking it was even strange that Grandma. I didn't look at the, that's strange. Grandma was shitting in the garden.
No.
Just, okay.
Well, I
moved on.
Well, there was also rumors that Grandma used to be a prostitute in the 30s. So we never really thought much about that either because she was an old lady. And we're like, well, she's not doing it now.
I still remember all those phone calls. Maddie home.
I know. Back in the day where there was no caller ID.
Maddie home. You remember there'd be change at the door sometimes? Yeah, I think she was making some money. Maddie home. Yes.
Maybe maybe she kept it up. Good for her, the old bird.
I guess. God, well, she's the only one who had the self-confidence of, I don't know.
Our father.
Yeah. And she just, no self-doubt, no nothing. Everybody else was wrong about everything. She was the only one who could do everything right.
Well, anyways,
oh,
La. Time to wrap it up. Time to wrap it up. We're spinning in circles.
I want
to
talk about our family. Let's do the journal again next week and see what comes up.
All right, maybe.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody.
If you liked today's show, and even if you didn't,
please remember to subscribe, share, and leave reviews and let us know you're alive at halfalivepodcast@gmail.com.
That's halfalivepodcast@gmail.com. Goodbye, everybody.
So long, everyone. So long.
He just had to interrupt me one more time, didn't he? Bye,
hang
everybody.
Hang up.